This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
I'm Vinny Raj.
Folks, we are terrible at predicting time. You know, many of us are victims of the planning fallacy, which is a term used by psychologists to describe our tendency to underestimate the amount of time it will take to complete a task. We're asking you guys for feedback, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. We have some tweets. We have some WhatsApps. Where shall we go first? Twitter first.
So on Twitter here, we've got Ian McNally, hi, who says, Trello.com, Wonderlist, and plenty of coffee. Same with the coffee thing. Not so much with the other two things, but those are very, very helpful tools.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Rubbish Man, but he's given not rubbish advice. Withdraw yourself back mentally. Calm down. Picture the whole day's schedule and plan in your details. So say at 9 a.m., do task one. You can do that in an hour. 10 a.m., task two. Maybe needs like 2 hours and so on. Most importantly, stay focused on your work button and just remind yourself of the time.
We have a message from Michelle who says, when quoting delivery times to our clients, I always budget a 25 to 30% breathing space so we either deliver bang on time despite supplier delays or delight by delivering our customers' order earlier.
Smart.
See, this is interesting because I've noticed that with one of our food delivery services here, very recently they've been early, like regularly, like 15 minutes to the most. If it's coming from the other side of town, you know, it's like, hey, we're running a little early. And I'm like, you guys are wonderful.
Yeah. Amazon does this all the time. So when they give me like estimates, like your package will be, will arrive in like 4 weeks' time, it's always like 2 weeks, 3 weeks maximum. And I'm always happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, you know, I got my stuff.
Surprise.
Yay.
Yeah. We also have a message from 5688 who says, Elon Musk has a serious planning fallacy problem.
No.
Yeah. Also known as Elon Tusk.
Elon Tusk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any more?
No, not yet.
No? All right. 018-789-8899 if you want to contribute. Get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Moving on now to story number two. Your speech there rules the people who guard the internet.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I think when everyone goes on social media platforms, they don't really think about what determines what is safe for work or what is not safe for work or what is safe for life or not safe for life or whatnot, right? And I think a lot of people assume that they are, you know, just controlled by algorithms that decide arbitrarily what is safe to view and what isn't safe to view. But that's not the case. There are real people who are in charge of deciding, you know, essentially what content is suitable for the internet and what isn't suitable for the internet. And I found this so interesting. This is coming from an article on Medium. Go and read the full article if you can, because it is very long and very
21
interesting.
21 pages.
Yes, but it is very interesting. And so, you know, the author of this article, his name is Alex Fierce. He talked to 15 trust and safety employees who work or have worked full-time at companies including YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Pinterest, Google, Slack, Tumblr, Airbnb, Etsy, Quora, and Medium itself as well. And it was so fascinating to me to see, you know, these people, these content moderators have such a tough, tough job. So stuff like, for example, some of the hard calls that they've made, you know, one of them says that they had to figure out what to do about the Google video of Saddam Hussein's hanging, you know, that wound up on the front page of the New York Times the day after it happened. And they were just like, I'm totally ill-equipped for this, right? Someone else responded to what was potentially like a suicide, you know, threat, but they couldn't, you know, actually figure out where this person was or if it was serious or not. And they just had to let it go because they had no way of telling whether or not it was actually serious, right? Then another one, you know, was saying that, okay, people always assume that, okay, you get to write the rules. That's a fun job, but it's very, very difficult to determine the context of what things are in. And one of the interesting examples of this is when, you know, you're talking about things like, one person was saying that essentially they saw content that on the surface looked fine, but they knew the source of it was from a Russian misinformation campaign. So what do you do when the content is technically okay, but you know that the source is propagating something bad? Like it was just very fascinating to see how complicated it is. And one of the interesting things is they were kind of asked, you know, how would you describe your job to other people? Like, how do you explain to people what you do for a living? And so one person said they consider themselves an internet janitor. Another person said essentially it's kind of like, you know, you tell your company, hey, look, paving the street with banana peels is like a really bad idea. And the company just decides to be like, hey, let's try paving the street with banana peels. And then you have to clean up what they've done, you know. And then now we're here to clean up the injuries, they say. And then another person just kind of said, you know, okay, like it's not, I just kind of really can't explain it to people because they just don't understand. They just assume that, you know, it's very easy to decide what, you know, it's like a few seconds, but really on average, it takes 10 minutes to decide whether something is or isn't okay.
I mean, if you look at it at its bare level, what it is writing policy
really, yeah.
for the internet. And that's extremely complicated because you've got to think about all the things, you know, who's going to be offended by it? You know, politics, religion, race, all of these things. It must be very difficult.
Yeah. So, you know, someone said essentially they compared, you know, doing this sort of trust and safety content moderation to if you look at a weightlifter, their body becomes a certain shape because they're putting themselves under strain and stress again and again. So you're kind of constantly sharpening the knife of your judgment. And all the time you're like, okay, we're just going to do the right decision in the right moment, in the right situation, in the right context. And at the same time, you're also using that sharpened tool to like open cans and do stuff that you shouldn't. So you're constantly sharpening and blunting a blade at the same time in your head.
That's a nice analogy.
Very nice analogy, you know. And it was really interesting to me because I just had never thought about it. I never thought about, you know, we hear a little bit of the stories of people, companies hiring or outsourcing their content moderation to a lot of people. But, you know, the psychological impact of this work on them and also, you know, how hard they work to try their best to make sure that the internet is a safe place. Because I personally have had my qualms about, you know, some of the content that I see on Facebook, on YouTube or whatnot. And I've always complained that, like, it's not being done well enough, right? But looking at this Medium article, I can't help but feel like I don't know if we can get to good enough at this point, right?
I think a lot of that kind of lies around... we're all, to a degree, content curators, aren't we?
Yeah.
Whether it's your Instagram or your Twitter feed or whatever. And I've really noticed that the people who spend a lot of time really curating the content that they put out, the tweets that they put out, are very well thought out, but they always seem to follow a fairly predictable thing. You know, they'll go out at a certain time, they'll be posted... regarding a particular topic that seems to have seems to resonate at that time. And I think that's really interesting as to how we're all trying to do a little bit of that. So everybody is a little bit of a content creator. I love the idea of that. But let's take for an example, we might put out a tweet that some people might not like, you know, or and at the time that you're putting it out, it's a completely innocent tweet in your mind, you know, in your small little group, in your team. But you know, you forget about the people that are out there who have their own thoughts and their own opinions, and you have to remember it's a very fine line sometimes. So these people must be incredibly stressed regularly.
Yeah, I don't think it was as bad before. Like, I think when they started doing this, like, content moderation and stuff for, like, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, maybe, like, 10 years ago, I don't think it was this bad. I think it has gotten bad over the last 5 years, ever since tweets and Facebook posts and stuff on YouTube can actually sort of, like, influence bigger picture things, like politics and, you know, who does what and violence in the real world and things like that. Especially since the 2016 elections and when it came out about the whole fake news thing and how it sort of influenced the Trump elections. I think after that, people started to realize that things as innocent or quote-unquote innocent as YouTube and Facebook and Twitter can have actual real-world effects.
Yeah, I just want to read out a message really quickly because this is from Amar, who says, I don't think the Charlie Bit Me video should be allowed on the internet. It promotes violence against cute babies. And I understand that I think you're probably joking, but this is exactly, you know, an example of how complicated it is to be a content moderator because what if it did promote violence against cute babies, right? Like, how do you decide on that? Like, how do you decide if that's okay or not okay to show on the internet? Because things are very, very nuanced, right? So, someone on this, someone who was talking about this in this article basically said, pretty much anything you say or do can and will be used against you in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
People are always going to take screenshots. They're always going to post your good or badly written email onto Twitter. It could end up a BuzzFeed. Anytime you do anything, it can become an international incident, depending on the way the wind blows or how the cultural constellations are aligned that week. And I think that's a great example of why that's so difficult to moderate.
Not only that, but we have to remember that the world is now the biggest popularity contest, you know. That's what it has become. You post, like you say, Chris, you post something and somebody doesn't like it, they're going to screenshot it, they're going to do whatever, they're going to share it and like, haha, look at what this idiot's doing or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it's become.
But also, coming back to the Charlie Bit My Finger video, if that one became organically popular, then someone else is going to try to copy that and then try to orchestrate or try to like set up their own quote-unquote viral video. And I think that's what happens in some videos where you see someone holding a camera from the beginning of the video up to the end, and you start to wonder, like, did this person set this thing up? Did they do it on purpose, or did they try to like rescue this animal, or was that animal actually did it actually need rescuing?
There's a subreddit for that. Why were they filming? Right, we have to take a very short break. We got music coming up from Katrina and the Waves with Walking on Sunshine. That was all about the rules, the people who guard the internet. Don't forget, we're having a discussion today. It's about how do you plan your time and your tasks effectively. That's because most of us are terrible at predicting time. That's all because of the planning fallacy. If you don't know what it is, listen back to the show a little bit earlier on. It'll be available on podcast very shortly. Right. Music next, and when we come back, how a major chemical company is building roads made of recycled plastic. Good idea, bad idea? We'll discuss that in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.